Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
And the view is that if we were testing every day and we're able to trace, in essence, the contacts that player has had, we're able to, in essence, contain that player, and we're continuing to test every day. The belief is we would not have to shut down if a single player tested positive.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Bird, double, Dennis Johnson, 2 seconds. It's good, the game is over. The Boston Celtics are acting like they won a championship, and Tommy, for them, perhaps it has been as important as a championship. 2-2 is the series.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
The look away to Livingston. Jordan. Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. That's 13 consecutive field goals. And a timeout has been called.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City, time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you. Happy Friday to everybody out there.
What is happening? It's a Friday. We made it to the end of this week.
It's a fast break Friday.
We are here. Can I tell you something, man? You got a real Southern vibe going. You got a little Southern comb over. Now, I don't know if you're like intentionally doing this or if your hair just kind of grows weird.
No, my hair is very odd.
Because you have not gotten a haircut since this whole thing shut down.
I think this is the longest I've ever seen your hair since I've known you.
But I'm not cutting it the rest of the year.
Why does it feel so much longer on top than on the sides?
Because
it feels like you got a good 6 inches up top. And then the rest is long, but not like that long.
Well, you should see it when I wake up in the morning.
Is it all over the place?
I kind of have like, it's almost like an afro. It's like all sticking straight up.
I need a little staticky from the pillow.
Yeah, together and in one motion. The wife always looks like, what is going on with you? My only explanation, I don't know what my hair is. It goes all different directions. If I don't comb it or brush it, it'll look just terrible. The top grows straight. The sides and the back curl.
Ah.
So I think the top is longer, but I think the sides...
It's because the sides are curling.
They're
up
curling.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. I got the curls for the girls on the sides.
Curls for girls.
So it gets
baby.
To my ears and it just starts kind of going up again. It's an odd situation.
I got to tell you, man, every time you take off a hat, because you've been wearing hats, I feel like, a lot lately.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see my hair?
You want to cover it up a little bit.
I don't want to style this either. I there's not a good style that would work with how my hair is.
Well, then why are you growing your hair out? Just because? Because if you're not going to style it, that's kind of a pain in the ass, man. You need to get the slick back going. You need to perfect that look.
No.
Let's get a little moose in there.
No,
let's
go
Steve Lavin, just slick it on back, Pat Riley.
I got a real Don Jr. look slick back my hair because it...
I see what you're saying.
The gel and the water, it gets kind of darker than brown and just some
poofs
like...
up a little bit.
I'm already privileged because I'm white. I don't want to look even more privileged with my hair back, right?
Every time you take your hat off, I have to do a bit of a double take. I'm not going to lie because you forget sometimes because, again, on the sides and the back, it's long, but it's not that long. And then you take the cap off and it's like, whoa, it kind of flops around a little bit and you got to push it over to the side. Yeah. There's a lot going on up there.
You know, I kind of just went in and said, COVID 2020 is a weird ass year.
Very weird.
It started with my team getting to a Super Bowl, but then quickly transitioned to Kobe dying right. and then turned into a pandemic.
Yeah.
And now we've got a worldwide fight against racial injustice and policing in general. So I just thought 2020 is weird.
What the hell?
I'm growing a hair out and I'm not cutting it till 2021.
Yeah.
So it's not great, but look, I'm not a very attractive guy anyway. I have a lip burn that has pussed up. So now it kind of looks like I have an STD.
You look like you got a little herp on your lip there.
Yeah, and I thought it was. And then I talked to an individual earlier, and they said, no, did you golf recently? I said, yeah. And they said, have you ever had a lip burn? And I said, no, what's that? They said, well, basically, it's a sunburn on your lip, but if you get it to a certain degree.
That's what they're calling it now.
It bubbles up and pusses up. And I said, well, that's exactly what I have.
We totally didn't go to a strip club in Bandon, and you got a little freaky. But totally didn't happen, Lynn, I promise. No, we just golfed. We went back to the room. Nothing weird happened in Bandon.
Those Coos Bay strip clubs, man. You never know. You never know.
It is. I feel like everybody's trying to do something like that, because I've had that with the beard. But now I'm facing a bit of a dilemma. Now, I trim it up every now and then.
Sure.
I've never grown my beard this long, and it doesn't look that good. It grows a lot more underneath my chin.
I think your beard looks great.
Than it does anywhere else.
The red.
It's a little red.
The red hue of it makes, it like complements your face.
Does it really? Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I'm contemplating, because we postponed the wedding, but we're still officially getting married this summer. So we were going to rent a beach house and go away just for a weekend with the parents and the siblings. Mm-hmm. Just very small, low key. But it's creeping up on the time when I'm going to have to either, you know, you got to crap or get off the pot.
Right.
Because I have now had this all summer and my face is starting to get tanner and tanner because of all the golf I'm playing. But I'm going to have some white cheeks here. So I got to commit or I got to get rid of it to balance out my tan because I don't want to have white cheeks.
Well, question.
Okay.
How many pictures? Are there going to be professional pictures?
Not professional pictures.
Then do whatever you want.
Just family, you know, like the sister-in-law is going to take some photos with an iPhone.
Very do whatever you want.
Let me counter that, though.
Okay.
What is the big deal if you keep the beard growing?
I mean, there's not a huge deal.
Do you like the way you look with it?
It's growing on me a little bit.
Wrong question.
Does the fiance
like the
it?
Way you look with it?
She's hit and miss with it. Hit and miss. And she gave me, by the way, the other day, total knock.
Oh.
It was like, hey, you got a lot of white hairs in there. Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
Yeah, she pointed out the grays.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Well, that's a distinguished
look. She's
looking
at taking another 12 months to assess her decision all of a sudden.
I know. All of a sudden, like, man, you're aging really fast. No.
Here's my problem with this.
We already sent in the marriage license. You're done.
How many times?
No turning back now.
How many times do they do something that maybe it's not your favorite look, but you compliment them, right? Oh, it looks good. But it's maybe not your favorite haircut or they're
never.
Right? Sure.
Never
lie to yourself on air. Go
never.
Ahead.
It's never happened.
But my point is,
yeah.
Let us have a year, right? This has been my reason because it's interesting when you do something. I find it very interesting how people love to comment on something they're not doing, but I'm doing. So what I'm getting with my hair is most of the time, and this is coming from my daughter, my wife.
Your daughter's talking some ass, huh?
Her sisters, other family members. It's like, ew, what are you doing with your hair? Are you going to cut your hair? And I'm like, I don't want to cut my hair. In fact, when you say that, I'm a very petty individual, or I'm driven by slights to a certain regard.
Sure.
You tell me not to do it. I want to do it.
You're going to do it.
So all these comments just keep internally telling me, I'm growing the hair out. F you.
You know what?
I don't
screw
care.
You. I'm going to keep going.
And you know what? I do want to look back and I'm going to remember 2020. And when I have half my hair gone because I'm an old balding man with short haircut, I'm going to go, oh yeah. When I was 33, I grew my hair and it looked really disgusting, but that's funny. I want to look back and see different looks of myself and not the
sure.
same haircut
sure.
from 18 years old
yeah.
till I die at 85. That's kind of boring.
That's a really good point. Like I'll stumble across like old pictures of my dad from time to time and it blows you away.
Right.
Like, dude, you had hair down to your armpits.
See?
You had a long beard. You look like Paul Bunyan. Where the hell did that look go?
I know Rocky. Rocky's a great guy. I'd have never guessed that
right.
Rocky had hair that long.
Because it's been almost my entire life, pretty similar look. Either go a pretty similar haircut, mustache, goatee occasionally, but some form of facial hair in that regard, but never a full beard.
Yeah.
But the old photos, you're like, man, that was a different look back in the day.
Well, I didn't get to see my dad a lot growing up. So when I see him now, I'm going up to his house this weekend. I see old pictures of him, like hikes and stuff, and he's bald, but he had his hair back then in the 90s.
The old hair days.
And I go, every time I see him now, I like to kind of just do a little shot, and I'd be like, hey, man, still keeping it real short, huh?
Needle.
Especially on the top. And it just... He laughs about it now, but I think personally, I think it drives him a little crazy.
Yeah, somebody said you're starting to flex on Rob. No, you're not there. It's going to take you a long. No. Rob's got about a year head start on you.
Yeah, actually, I think he does exactly have a year on me.
Yeah, and then I enjoyed this one from Aiden. He said, "Don't like my hair? Hold my beer. Check it out in a couple of months. Wait and see where it goes, baby."
Yeah, I don't know where it's going, but...
who knows where we're going to be in August.
I haven't had...
Going to get a little wild.
I haven't had one person, not one, just say, "Hey, dude, I like that you're growing the hair out." Nobody. It's what are you doing that
you
for?
The compliment?
Not one.
Yeah.
Not one.
See, here's the thing, though, and this is the same thing with beards. Hair is always this way. You have to get through certain stages, yeah. Right? Like every time in my life where I've tried to grow a beard, you get to the point where it's like, this looks awful. It is awkward. It's patchy. It's red. I'm shaving it off. I can't survive this. But coronavirus was like, dude, I'm not going anywhere. Nothing's open. We're just sitting around the house. What the hell do I have to lose? I'm getting married. Not like I got to impress anybody. I'm growing this thing out. You're kind of in that stage right now with your hair. I feel like if you give it another 6 weeks, you'll get to a point where it's like, okay, you kind of, you know, fix it around a little bit, it'll look a lot better. But you're still in that awkward stage.
I appreciate that.
You're going to get there.
I don't think I'm going to... The top is never going to be good.
It's like your hair is going through puberty right now. You know, its voice is a little high. It's got a couple of pimples.
It's got some armpit hair.
Dude, just let it keep growing. You're going to get there, okay? You're going to grow those muscles out.
There's a patch on the left side, but yeah, not the right yet.
It's not there yet, man.
Yeah, we're figuring it out. All right, it's a Friday. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a good show today. We have two stops to make on the Daily Ticker.
Oh, look at us.
One, it's a surprise guest. Yep. The only person who will know who our guest is will be myself.
Okay.
And Jason T. Swigard. When he dials them up.
Okay.
But Robert Allen covers all things Oklahoma State. And we've had him on before to talk about Oklahoma State football. Well, their basketball team got a postseason ban, so March Madness will not matter for Oklahoma State next year. And we'll get his thoughts on that. And then also, they had a couple players test positive for coronavirus.
They did, yeah.
So what are they thinking down there in Stillwater? Dirt put up a good tweet about great golf stories.
Yeah, because we need to get to that.
Well, we'll get to it.
We need to get to that.
But first, I want to hear about the great golf stories before we get to that on the show today.
Dude, I'm reading through some of these tweets, man. They are funny.
You can send them in, by the way. What's a great golf story you have?
It can be a positive or a negative.
Yeah.
We're leaning a little more negative here.
I like the negatives because we all suck.
Yeah, we've all been there.
So 503-250-1080, a great golf story. We've got another one in sports. Most athletic directors were polled. They do not think the NCAA is capable of policing athletes' name, image, likeness.
Of course not.
So this is going to just go splendidly.
I thought of a sports question of the day if you don't have one.
I still kind of draw on a blank. I'm not really committed to any.
Because there was a story that popped up that I wanted to talk about, and it tied into my sports question of the day.
Okay, so Dirt will have the sports question of the day, and I want to hold that till 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. I've got a fun new thing we're going to start doing every Friday.
Oh.
This could be fun. Trust me, you'll like it.
Okay.
I'll tell you at 1:15. We got fast food story. We got crunch time to get to today. Vince Carter's career is over. What are you going to remember about him?
Yeah.
For me, I always loved Vince Carter, but if we're being really honest, he's kind of the modern day Dominique Wilkins. Amazing highlight films. Mm-hmm. Obviously a great player, but not quite to that level.
Sure.
You know, just not quite enough to be the MJ, LeBron, Kobe's, Duncan's, etc. So we'll talk a little bit about Vince Carter today, and at 2:30, Spragging the Line. Also, happy birthday, Breonna Taylor. It is extremely sad that she couldn't celebrate her 27th birthday today, and I cannot believe there has been nothing done about that. Yeah. And shout out to Damian Lillard, because you're a real one for showing up at the protest yesterday and marching with the people. Suck on that one, Dan Orlovsky. So we got a good show today. We will start with great golf stories. We're going to have a little fun starting the show today. Then we'll get to the Daily Ticker. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Friday on 1080 The Fan. All right, we got another topic. We just added it to the show today. As Dirt found a very, very interesting story.
Yeah.
And he passed it to Swigart. So we'll talk about this one in the 2 o'clock hour. It involves Nazi gold.
Nazi gold. This is good. This has Nicolas Cage movie written all over it.
Can he do it as Joe Exotic?
Where is the gold?
That was more Keanu Reeves.
You kind of went. No, you went Batman. Yeah, Batman. You kind of went Ben Affleck Batman there.
Darkness is your ally.
I don't know what that was either. What was that supposed to be, Bane?
Let's get my Bane on. Let's get my Bane on a Friday.
I got to be honest with you, man. We've been doing a show a while. I think one of my favorite parts about doing a radio show with you is how bad you can be at doing voices. But
very
like,
bad. Very bad. I always try, though. I'm never going to give up. I'm never going to jump off that horse.
You never let anything stop you from trying voices.
I will plow forward.
It's great.
That's right. You can't knock me down.
I feel like you'd be great in a Pixar movie. Because they'd be like, hey, can you do an Australian accent? You'd be like, yeah. And then you'd do it and you'd be like, oh, hello. And they wouldn't know what's going on, but they'd roll with it anyway.
I just keep filming. Don't stop now.
So, yeah. Never stop doing the voices.
Okay, I won't.
All right.
I like that one.
Okay. Before we get to the Daily Ticker, and we have two stops to make. One of them is a bit of surprise. The other is in Stillwater. You were inspired. We played golf yesterday.
That we did, Bob.
And without diving in too much, we thought about a lot of things. Golf.
Yeah.
Got out of the course. It was fun. I only got to play 9. You got to play 18. A little jealous of that.
You had to go give raspberries to a kid.
Oh. If you ever want to see a kid care less about a gift.
You walked right into that trap.
Hand them box of fruit. Because... it wasn't even like, this is a great idea. This was a, I don't even know why you're talking to me about this. It glossed right over.
Wait, what? You brought me raspberries for my birthday?
That's my gift. Yes. Well, I mean, like, I gave you the Fitbit and the raspberries.
No, there's the other thing, too. I gave you that one as well. No, we don't remember that.
I went over to drop my kids off at his house.
You gave me fruit?
His dad offered to give me those same raspberries. I said, wow, now we're just giving away.
You got re-gifted raspberries.
I didn't take them.
He didn't even want to eat them?
Well, not yet.
Yikes.
Hopefully he'll eat them. I don't know.
That backfired a little bit on you, but it's okay. It's the thought that counts, right? You know what we're taught as kids?
It was a waste of 11 minutes of my life, but I went and got raspberries. Anyway, great golf stories.
Yes.
Great golf stories. We've got plenty.
There's a lot of them coming in at the Twitter thread. Like some of these are hilarious. By the way, keep texting them in 503-250-1080. We'll get to why we're talking about this. I actually had a really cool one today. I was golfing with a couple of buddies again in Eastmoreland, and somebody on number 7, which is now, 16 because they have the sides flipped, hold out from an opposite fairway from like 150 yards away.
God.
A little punch shot below the trees, and it ran up onto the green, funneled down, ball disappeared. It was like, oh my God, did that just go in? It was an incredible shot. So that was a positive one. But some of these negative ones, like we're getting, somebody tweeted us, I was teeing off on number 10 at Persimmon, a hole that we're very familiar with.
Yeah, I do know Ted.
Where there are signs up that say, do not cut the corner, because there are houses there to the right.
Yeah,
you're supposed to play.
It's a huge dog leg right.
You're not supposed to play that slice.
But a lot of people do.
Right, you're supposed to go straight and then straight. So I was teeing off number 10 at Persimmon, slice it right into the houses on the right. The lady that lived in the house came out with a spatula, waving it at me, yelling about me hitting her house. That's not good. Somebody said, golf once with my dad when I was 11. He didn't have a good day. He flipped out. He threw his putter. It was very embarrassing. somebody said, let's see. I have a couple. As a kid, I was at the Fred Meyer Open, and the president of Fred Meyer's hit my leg with a ball, and I was directly to his left. I got a signed golf ball out of Tom Lehman and a Fred Meyer's gift card, so I got that going for me. Somebody said, I sculled a flop shot and it went right into my buddy's back. Oops.
Oh, man. At least it's a flop shot and not like a laser beam with a 3-wood.
Somebody said, teeing off, probably my best drive of the day. Leaves the tee beautifully straight. Drive. A bird swoops down right in front of it. I took the head off. Feathers everywhere. Ball went maybe about 80 yards.
He Randy Johnson?
Randy Johnson, a bird with a tee shot. That is gross and impressive at the same time.
What's more impressive, doing that or the Randy Johnson?
I almost want to give it to a golf.
Well, I do too, because you hit.
Sure.
You pitching, Randy Johnson was going for a spot to the catcher. The bird got in that way. Golfing, for all of us that are, smaller, whether you're a 2 handicap or you're a 25.
Yeah, smaller ball.
We all suck. So it's like you can only control so much every time you swing the club. That's pretty impressive.
I'm not even mad, man. I have a couple. I had one. I used to caddy when I was young. My first job ever was caddying at Waverly. And I did it mainly just because I love golf. And yeah, you need money as a middle school kid. But also they gave you the ability to play for free if you caddy that week.
Waverly,
which is like,
yeah.
Dude, awesome, right? Great gig or great perk of the job. I got drilled in the back like two or three times, and none of the rich guys ever gave me anything for it. So it didn't really turn out that great. I just got drilled for absolutely no reason. I did have one time where I squarely smacked the guy's house. I think we were playing in Bend, and it was a dog leg to the right. And of course, when you want to hit a straight drive, you can't. And when you want to hit a slice drive, you can't. I piped one straight and it smacked so loud right off the side of a guy's house. And I got up there and he happened to be standing outside. Well, maybe he heard the shot hit his house and that's why he came out. Wasn't mad at all. He's like, no, we got insurance. We got extra strong siding. It didn't even leave a dent. You're good. And he let me play it, which was probably illegal because there was white stakes. Let me play it from his yard. So it turned out to be a positive
for me.
How was
the shot?
Not great because there's a little pressure. He was standing right there next to me in the backyard in like a bathrobe drinking coffee. So a little pressure there, but at least it turned out okay.
Yeah. I mean, my best moment is easily my hole in one. I mean, that's about all I'm ever going to have as a golfer because I suck.
This is all I got, man.
And coincidentally, the hole in one was also my worst moment. I didn't buy beers for anybody, and I got made fun of on the station for about a week on it. In fact, I still get random tweets that are like, hey, man, remember when you didn't buy beers after getting a hole in one? And I'm always like,
you're never going to live that down.
I'm never going to live that down. No.
Somebody said I was golfing with a couple of old women a few years back. And at the turn, I ran in to grab a beer. When I got back, they had already hit and they told me to go ahead. I asked them to move back to the white so I don't hit them. They replied, you're fine. Go ahead. You've been hitting the ball good today. Needless to say, pressure got to me and I smoked one of them in the right leg.
Oh.
Ambulance came and everything.
Man.
Yikes.
That's no bueno.
Yikes, that's not good.
I remember back when you and I first started playing, when we started doing this, and we had a third host with us, you two really like golf. And I'd played a couple times. I never really played. I didn't even have my own clubs. And we went out maybe the second time. It might have been Persimmon. It might have been somewhere else. And at this point, I am maybe a 35 handicap. I am
just getting started.
Terrible. And I remember I lost my temper so much and I just slammed my club into the ground and then I threw it really hard. And I look back on that and I'm like, what was I mad about?
Right. Why am I angry here?
I was not good enough to have that kind of anger. It's embarrassing.
I don't golf. I don't play very often. Like, why am I getting upset about this? What else we got here? I killed a goose at Charbonneau. It was taking forever walking in front of us on the tee, but I figured it was far enough away that I would get it high enough that it wouldn't be a worry. Drilled it right in the neck, and it flopped around for a little bit, and then it died. It was the first hole, so I had to go back and tell them that I killed a goose so they could take care of it.
When I golfed with your dad for your bachelor party weekend out at Eastmoreland.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what was that? Five?
Yeah, it was five.
Oh,
the
he hit a
dog
goose?
Left. He hit it right off the tee box, right in the ribs.
Ooh.
I mean,
was the goose okay, or did it keel over?
The goose was stunned for a moment.
A bit of a stun job.
It like hit in the ribs.
It took a standing eight count, and then kind of started to waddle off again.
Dude, and then I think it just kind of sat for a while.
One, two, three.
And none of us knew what to say.
Yeah, you can't really say anything in that moment.
Because your dad, I mean, it was such a bad tee shot. We're talking directly to the left of him. Just yanked it right into the bird's ribs. And all of us were like, oh my God, you hit a bird.
Did that really just happen?
And your dad was just like, he's okay.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? He'll be all right. I had a buddy that did that too, that killed a goose, hit one. You get courses in this area, man. They are all over the place.
Well, especially of course like Eastmoreland where there's the water and that, you know.
They're all like Heron Lakes too. Yeah. They're all over the place. And I had a buddy that did that one time and he hit it just square in the neck. And it was like, dude, you could hit that shot 100 times and it would probably happen 1 out of 100 because it was like 10, 15 yards in front of him. And he just happened to hit a 3-wood that didn't get off the ground. And it just right in the side of the neck. Not going to last long.
Great stories, good and bad here at golf or in golf in your life at the fan text line 503-250-1080 and on Twitter. We'll get to some more of these coming up a little bit later on, but the Daily Ticker is next. We have a surprise guest, but first we go to Stillwater as Oklahoma State men's basketball got a postseason ban for next season. We'll talk about that. And then also they had some football players test positive for COVID. So what is the plan moving forward with that? The Daily Ticker is next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this one could lead to a couple others. Remember the FBI investigation in college basketball? A lot was made of it. Oklahoma State was one of those schools involved, and today the NCAA, they spoke with their punishment by saying Oklahoma State men's basketball program will have a postseason ban for next year. So if they're good, it appears no March Madness as of now. So we wanted to go to Stillwater, talk with our good friend Robert Allen, who covers all things Oklahoma State, as a sideline reporter for Cowboys Radio Network. Also does a radio show on Triple Play. You can find him on Twitter at RAllenGoPokes. Robert, thanks for coming on with us again here in Portland, man. I'll start. Just your thoughts on Oklahoma State's punishment by the NCAA. I think a lot of people outside of Stillwater, I didn't know they were really going to be implicated the way that other programs potentially could be. What are your thoughts on the punishment?
Yeah, neither did Oklahoma State. You just hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I mean, we knew that Mike Holder and Mike Poynton and Kevin Feith, the director of compliance, had gone up to Indianapolis. And Chuck Smert, who has become famous as an attorney, that his firm out of Kansas City represents a lot of schools when they get into Dutch with the NCAA. They all went up to Indianapolis and – what I guess escaped most of us, and Chuck explained it in a news conference just minutes ago, the committee or the portion of the committee that heard Oklahoma State's case was trying to figure if this was a level one violation for the school. It was definitely a level one violation by Lamont Evans, the coach involved. I mean, he took money from a couple of financial advisors that were working for the FBI and for the federal court in the Southern District of New York. And he took their, you know, he took their money and tried to get one of Oklahoma State's players, Jeffrey Carroll, to use their representation. None of that money was used for recruiting purposes. It wasn't repurposed. It went straight into Lamont Evans' pocket. And Lamont last year pleaded guilty and spent 3 months in a federal prison last summer because of his, you know, his involvement. It turns out the NCAA committee called this a level one violation by the school. And today for a case like this, I think the athletic director, Mike Holder, and I know the basketball coach, Mike Boynton, feel like they got the double barrel of the shotgun.
Right.
You know, Mike Boynton, when he took the coaching job, immediately after Brad Underwood left for Illinois, he promoted Lamont Evans. They were friends. They were on the staff together. He had no idea what Lamont had done. It had not come out yet. The FBI investigation had been released. As soon as it did, Lamont was fired within 72 hours. I mean, this is a school that's had a checkered past with the NCAA. Their wrestling program went on probation. Football's been on probation every time they've had success until Mike Gundy. I think there's a lot of people surprised by this. Mike Holder, or Mike Boynton rather, the basketball coach, you could tell he was kind of in tears in the news conference. They're going to appeal. The date to have the appeal in is by June 20th. They say that'll be beaten. They'll have their appeal in next Monday. And then within 110 days, they're supposed to be heard by the committee again. But, you know, here's my thing, my problem with it. If you gained a recruiting advantage, blast them. If you committed academic fraud, blast them. If you cheated a kid, if you did a kid bad, blast them. And if you lack institutional control, if the institution was at fault in the deal, blast them. Those are all – hey, I can live with getting blasted on any of those. In this case, you can make a strong case, which Oklahoma State tried to, that not only did they not gain anything out of this, Lamont Evans' arrest was a PR nightmare. It was on the news, 6 o'clock news, for several days. Oklahoma State assistant coach arrested in federal sting. That's not going to get – parents aren't going to look at that at home and say, well, I want my kid to go there. Let's go to Oklahoma State. I mean, they had – this was a black eye. And now, not only is it a black eye, but now you can't go to the NCAA – well, not just the NCAA. You can't even go to your conference tournament. And you didn't mention the 3 scholarships for 2 separate seasons. So, yeah, they don't – and you know, they don't give the men as many scholarships as the women's basketball team. So, right now, Mike Boynton, the way I look at his roster, he's going to have to tell some people to leave.
Yeah.
Of course, there may be if this doesn't change in the appeal, you may have some players transfer out anyway because they want to go to the NCAA tournament. Don't blame them.
Well, yeah, it stings even more, too, because the punishments are always random. It's like, wait, Oklahoma State, but Arizona skating by, nothing's happened there yet. Kansas, nothing's happened, but okay, sure, let's punish Oklahoma State. I did want to ask you quickly about the football program. I know Gundy made some comments that kind of went viral recently about the COVID-19 and all that stuff, but I believe a couple players tested positive. They were, like, asymptomatic, and they were trying to bring people back. Just where are they at on that with the positive test and then trying to get practice going again?
The 3 players are quarantined. One of the reasons Mike Gundy wanted to bring players in early, because, you know, Alabama's had, what, 5? Mm-hmm. Arkansas State, with 4 sports, had 7. Marshall had 2 test positive. Mike Gundy knew he was going to have players test positive. I think every school, virtually every school that brings kids back from all over the country, they're going to have positive tests. His case is, look, once we do, now we've got to quarantine them for 2 weeks. They've slowed down. The next phase of players won't come in until next Thursday, and they were scheduled to come in yesterday. They're not going to – Big 12 says you can start working out June 15th. Oklahoma State started bringing in kids June 1. They won't work out by June 15th. This probably – I was trying to put it together today. I would say June 21st might be the first time they could get on the field with everybody, because you can't really get on the field until you've got most of your players cleared. And you know they don't have it, and it's going to take a while to do that. So they were testing this morning. They brought in 32 on Monday, guys, and with 3 positives, they had to retest most of the kids and a lot of the staff, because before the results were in, they'd all been around, the 3 players, and one of them almost said his name. You know, Eamon Abondamiga came out on Twitter and said he has it, so he's one. But it's going to be a process. It's going to be a process for everybody.
Yeah. Robert Allen covers Oklahoma State football, basketball, all things Cowboys over there in Stillwater on Twitter, @RAllen. Go Pokes. Does great stuff for the radio network and his own radio show as well. Robert, we always appreciate the time up here in Portland, my man. Thank you for hopping on to explain the men's basketball program situation and the update with the football team with COVID-19. We appreciate the time.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, you too. There we go. Robert Allen in Stillwater. And now we're going to bring on a mystery guest. we're gonna go surprise, surprise. And this story will have relevance, and we'll explain it once we get them on. So give us just a second here. We're going to dial them up. And I'm actually going to say hello.
Okay. We're going to see if he, does he know he's getting a call right now?
All right, we'll find out in a second, won't we?
Okay, we'll see if he answers.
Yeah. We got it? Oh, no, that's a dial tone. Oh, you like this?
Oh, this is official.
Yeah.
This is official.
This is 1990 sports radio.
This totally is, man. Throwback. We should do every daily ticker guest like that.
A little throwback?
Actually dial them out on the air. By the way, listeners putting a blast up needs to be a drop.
Yeah, I was going to pull
it.
Yeah. Hey, is this Joseph Fisher?
Him speaking.
Hey, Joe Fish. It's Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Van. How you doing today?
That's a pretty deep question right now.
Well, you're live on the air, and we didn't talk about you yet. We thought we'd bring you on because we golfed with you yesterday.
And we did. The hellacious seeds
the
hit the course.
Hellacious seeds finally hit the course at Eastmoreland. How did the round go for you?
Well, it got so good that I stopped recording my score at one point. So, I mean, right, you know, you guys have been talking about some obviously depressing things going on in the world, yes. You know, obviously with the pandemic and what's going on with race issues. So you might as well talk about the third depressing thing in the world, which is my golf round, right? Might as well just check everything off the bucket list right now. You know, I was saying hellacious seeds. Well, that was a round from hell is what it was, all right? Hack Nicholas returned.
Joe, now we have not told the Mighty Fan listeners what happened on the opening tee shot of the round yet, and we contemplated leading with it. We decided to wait, and we will allow you to inform the listeners the start that your round got off to.
Well, I shattered expectations. Because I basically shattered someone's windshield. No, I didn't shatter it. It wasn't that bad. But, yeah, you guys got to see that slice in full action on the very first tee shot. Go skyrocketing over the tree line onto BB Road.
Bybee
Road. Sorry, I'm not an east side folk myself. So. Went on to Bybee Road. It must have bounced off the cement or something because yeah, I thought it was going to be much worse. I was expecting shattered glass everywhere, but the picture of the car, it actually wasn't too bad. But yeah, we're walking down a hole two.
Yep.
And I'm already like, oh, this is going to be a fantastic day. And then sure enough, two carts come rolling up. Hey, did someone hit a ball out of bounds on the first hole about 10 minutes ago? And then everybody turns and looks at me. And so I'm like, oh. Yeah, that was me. And yeah, sure enough, my ball caught somebody's windshield. So that was a nice conversation. Oh, and on top of it, I had my beer in my right hand, which wasn't supposed to be out there. So that, of course, had to get dumped right there on the course. Thankfully, I had two extra beers in my bag. But yeah, basically two holes in, and it turned into the worst golf round of my life and the most expensive. So yeah, that was a great time. Great time yesterday.
This is a supremely talented individual here at the Fan. Joe Fisher is our second guest here on the Daily Ticker.
Supremely talented.
Yeah, dude, you're a do everything guy. You co-host with people. You produce. Like you're don't sell yourself short. You're good in radio. Now.
Yeah, that round yesterday has me questioning everything in life at this point.
Oh, you're a terrible golfer. Let me ask this, though. What was the over-under number, Dirt? What did we set on the show?
Well, we set it at 100, which was a little aggressive. We all named, so our numbers individually, you said 113, Swag said 117, I said 110.
And now, Joe, I know you said you stopped scoring because it got so ugly for you. I individually text Dirt, and I said, what do you really think the damage was? Dirt said, at the very minimum, you shot at least a 125. Do you think it was higher than that?
For sure. I mean, it definitely was higher than that. I mean, in all honesty, and I think I said it to one of you guys, when I tweeted out that I was hitting hellacious seeds at the drive about like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that was the case. I was feeling great about my golf game. It was the best it had been in nearly 2 years. And then I went a couple more times to the range, and then I went, I think, a day before yesterday. And it basically, it was going bad. And I went to the middle school across from my house and hit on the grass, and I was hacking it up. And that's when I texted you guys, yeah, this is going to be bad. This is going to be ugly. So
right after I compliment you, you drop a curse word on the radio.
Come on,
what are we doing here?
Come on.
Hey, golf got in your head. Golf got in your head.
Hey, I would be fine if I was in the studio because I'm obviously in the element. When you guys got me on the phone and after a round like that, you know, the gloves are going to come off. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hey, man, it was nice to have you out there. Don't worry about it. Everybody has bad rounds. You're going to suck for a long time until you don't suck. That's kind of just what golf is. So thanks for hopping on with us today.
Oh, hey, well, you guys, I mean, it was an honor. You guys probably got to witness the last round I've ever played golf. So we'll see if I ever get out there again.
All right, there we go. Joe Fisher. Joining us here, our second stop on the Daily Ticker. Yeah, I think...
We've holstered that one the entire show, waiting for him to come on.
His tee shot on one went over trees, and he shattered a windshield on the first shot of the round.
I've never seen... So if you know Eastmoreland, they have the two sides flipped. So you're teeing off by the clubhouse at number 10. That is now the first hole. I have been playing at that course now for like 25 years, and I don't think I've seen balls like go through the trees and kind of maybe hop up, you hit the fence, or you bounce over. I've seen balls eventually get to the street. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody hit one that high off the tee box, slice it that bad, and then clear everything. Like, it was out of the ballpark, right out of the gate, and not a good start to the round.
No, it wasn't. All right, we got to go. We're a little over here on the Daily Ticker. Up next, the NCAA, not to be trusted with name, image, likeness. Not a surprise there. We'll talk about it next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We'll have a sports question today coming up, and then at 1:15, I'm going to introduce something. Yeah, I mean, look, you remember my story about golfing years ago and me throwing my club and smacking the ground with it really hard? That's kind of the level Joe Fisher is at right now.
Yeah.
And so once he just needs to play. I mean, driving ranges are great, but you just kind of need to play too.
That was our larger point, I think, too, is that you cannot brag about hitting the ball well on the driving range. And Rob made a good observation with that yesterday. So anybody who golfs a lot knows you don't brag about that kind of stuff.
No.
Because you could be as good a golfer as anybody, but you're going to have bad rounds and bad days. You don't brag about that kind of stuff, man. You just hope you can put it all together. And I think he learned his lesson yesterday.
Well, it led him to curse for the first time in his career at radio. So he's not the first. He's not the last.
I still can't believe opening tee shot. It's like, oh, God.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen that before.
Never seen that.
As he mentioned, we may or may not have cracked a beverage, and we were walking up the next hole's fairway, and the marshal comes rolling up, and we're like, oh, God, really? They're going to get us for drinking a beer on the second hole? Like,
yeah.
This early on in the round?
I put it on my hip.
Yeah,
I'm like,
put it in their pocket, trying to hide it, and immediately goes, anybody hit a ball out of bounds 10 minutes ago?
Now, can I defend us?
Sure.
I didn't look at Joe.
I didn't either.
I looked around, but I didn't look just at Joe. I think you said, I didn't. And then Nepper didn't really say anything. And then I didn't say anything. And then Joe, to Joe's credit, he stepped up and he said, yeah it was me.
Yeah.
But we weren't going to snitch on him. I knew it was him.
I was not going to snitch. I was going to allow him to fall on the sword. But yeah, I didn't look at him and point at him. I just said, I didn't hit one out of bounds because I did not hit one out of bounds.
Right. And when he hit the tee shot, we were waiting to hear glass. I didn't hear anything. So I assumed he just landed in a safety zone, but he didn't.
He did not.
He learned a very expensive lesson there. Yeah. I don't really know what it is. Don't slice the ball, but you can only control that so much.
Oh, well done, Joe. Well done.
All right. So, thanks again, Joe Fisher. Poor guy. Poor guy.
Did we catch it, by the way? Did you catch it? Okay, good. Okay.
It's about 5 seconds to catch that,
right?
It's
8 seconds. We have an eight-second delay.
Okay, the stream teamers hear it, but yeah.
Swag did a double take because he heard it, and then Swag was like, oh, wait, he just cursed.
Wait, did that just happen right there? What the hell's going on, man?
At least the stream listeners got to hear it.
You got Joe,
you got Quick. Who else did we
get? We did get Quick, too. I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, Quick dropped one.
I dropped an F-bomb on my own, too, so we got...
Yeah.
I got, too, if that's a thing. So that happened. Yeah, I didn't count up Joe's strokes yesterday. From the opening tee shot, hitting it out of bounds, I think that was kind of the, all right, it's going to be a high number.
It set a tone.
It's going to be a high number. It just didn't really ever feel comfortable. But I would probably guess he had a couple of bogeys, one or two bogeys on the back, and I would say those are probably his two best holes.
His chipping and putt speed was really good, considering what his level is.
Everything else was probably in the 8 to 11 range. I think a generous number would be 125 to 130, probably more to the 140 to 150 kind of range.
Also, just for people that are maybe in the Joe Fisher golf range of you're just diving into this, he's not going to give up his clubs. I know this is going to motivate him to want to play more.
We all say that. I'm done. I'm quitting.
I'm guilty of this too, so I'm not pointing fingers. Don't, if you're not a good golfer, don't be... brings down the entire mood of the round with your group guy. And I told Joe this at one of the par threes. I said, you need to crack a beer. You're not in a good spot. It was set with the wrong tone by breaking a windshield. Just drink a Modelo or a light of some sort. Take it easy. And know you suck at golf, but have a good time and make fun of yourself with your group.
It's a little easier to do that when he does not have a payment coming to fix a window. Like, if he was just playing bad, I would have been all over him of, like, quit moping around.
Yeah.
Don't be a little bee. Let's go.
I said that to Swigart.
We knew you were going to suck. Just have some fun. It's a beautiful night out. We're playing 18 holes. It was a little different because somebody asked, is he going to have to pay for the wind? He is paying for the windshield.
That's not for me to say how much. I know how much it was. It wasn't as bad as he thought it would be.
No, we know the amount of money, but he is paying for the windshield.
All right, we have a packed second hour, crunch time. We've got a fast food story. I also am going to introduce something at 1:15. We're going to carry something we did before over, but I'm going to change it up a little bit, and I'll tell you what it is at 1:15. But we will start with our sports question of the day. You said you had a good one, so I'm really curious. What is your sports question of the day?
So I saw a story about Matt Harvey. Remember Matt Harvey?
The Mets pitcher?
Yes, that Matt Harvey. His career is taking an interesting turn. And maybe this is easier to answer because I haven't really thought out the entire thing yet.
He's doing porn, isn't he?
He is not doing porn. Oh. Although he does feel like a mustache kind of guy, so maybe that plays. Who is the athlete who was on the... Not saying you're into porn. Yeah.
Swigert for sure does porn.
He would be totally into porn. Who was the athlete that was like...
His name's Harold Ballstein.
At the peak of their career and at the top of their profession and then immediately faded into obscurity.
Oh, I got a great one. And I'm not going superstar. Don't answer this. Hold it.
Okay, I was thinking about that with Matt Harvey. It's like, dude, when I tell you where his career is going, you're going to be like, dude, that guy was pitching. It was the number one starter for the Mets in a World Series like 4 years ago.
I have a great one, and I know this name's going to get texted in, but my favorite one, I'll tell you who it is.
Okay.
That is the sports question of the day. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague. We're back on radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.